Have you ever wished you had been taught how to study the Bible in depth? Because that is exactly what our partners, Chasing Sacred, are all about. Creating resources for studying the Bible that meet practical needs while also maintaining strong biblical literacy. The way they structure their studies are so purposeful, and they help readers understand the historical and cultural context, which is so important. They actually just came out with a new study on the book of Ephesians. You do not want to miss it. Just don't forget to put code ABIDINGFREE for a 20% discount on any of their products. Click their link in our show notes and learn more about them at chasingsacred.com.
Life can be messy and hard, but one of the things God has promised to give us is freedom. Freedom deep in our hearts that is not dependent on the ever-changing waves of circumstances, but set on the steadfast promises of God. This freedom gives us a secure identity, even with a broken past. It helps us have joy in parenting, even when we are completely exhausted. This freedom gives us love for our spouses, even when they are unlovable. And it can give us purpose in our careers, even if it's not the one we want.
But I feel stuck sometimes, don't you? What does it really mean that Christ has set us free? That's why we're here. Welcome to the Abiding Free podcast with Kristen and Shannon. We invite you to walk on this bumpy but beautiful journey toward freedom as we learn to abide in Him. Get ready for tears and laughter and everything in between, because this podcast is about living from the truth that, yes, it was for freedom that Christ has set you free.
Friends, welcome back to the Abiding Free podcast. Kristen and Shannon here. We're always excited to have another episode. And, you know, life has been full for us the last 10 months. And for both of us, it has been a life-changing season. That's one of the reasons we kind of took a break off the podcast, is just God was doing a lot. I know we referenced that a couple weeks ago, but God has just been doing so much. It's almost overwhelming, like, how good He is. And I feel like He's brought both of us into just these insanely deeper levels of freedom. It's so cool that this is like the heart of our podcast.
Yeah.
Obviously here at Abiding Free, and just being able to really truly walk in the freedom Christ has called us to. And I feel like He's leading both of us further into what it means, slowly but surely, because, you know, it's just amazing.
Yeah. And today, you know, we'd really love to start a small series kind of diving into two of the things God's been teaching us over this last year, things that are bringing so much just more freedom and just bringing the word of God to life. And there's things, even honestly, as a follower of Christ for, gosh, many years now, things that I didn't quite understand to the degree that God is, I feel like, revealing them to us now. And it's just, isn't He so good like that with all of us? It's just amazing.
Absolutely.
And those two things that we'd really love to talk on over the next couple episodes are, one, about knowing and boldly and peacefully walking in our identity and who God has made us as individuals and as the church. And then, two, in actually hearing the voice of God in real time, right? And practically walking with Him intimately and learning how to follow His guidance in day-to-day life. You know, and these are things that I've known that might sound simple, things that I would have said forever. But like I said, I just feel like God's opened our eyes just more and more to this reality. And I would love the opportunity to just talk about that.
Yeah.
And dive in.
I'm so excited. I've seen this just change in your life. And so can you kind of go into the details of this and what you've been learning more and more about identity and hearing from God?
Yeah, I think what I'd love to do is start with kind of sharing the experiences and the things that God has walked me through and just kind of allowed me to experience over this last, I guess it's been about 10 months. And the first one is a trip that happened last year, actually. And the reason I think it's helpful to talk about it is because some of these topics, as we'll get into, there can be kind of fears or controversies or different things attached to them. And I think, just like you guys heard in the last episode when Kristen was talking about her testimonies and the way God has used her, sometimes I just think our testimonies and the experiences of what God is doing really speak for themselves.
Yeah.
You know? And absolutely. So I really love to start this conversation off with just talking like what God's doing. So like I said, what I want to talk about is this experience that I had at a training back in May of last year. And it was a church leaders training something called Church Intensive, which is part of the We Are Church movement, which is part of the Crazy Love Ministries that Francis Chan has. And, you know, God had put it on my heart, and I wasn't sure why, and I was nervous about it, to take the whole staff of Forever Found. And
what do you think you're nervous about?
I think I was nervous because everyone on the staff is really busy. Like they have a lot on their plate, and the training wasn't, it's specific to our heart and our mission, which is the gospel, but it wasn't specific to like on the job training.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
To sex trafficking.
To sex trafficking and just getting more, you know, certifications or whatever. And it was a personal thing I was asking the team to do, you know, and I just felt nervous about that, but I just knew it was what God was asking me to do.
Yeah.
And so I had reached out to them, and even though it was for church leaders and pastors, I said, you know, can we come and do this? And I just have to say that, you know, I've been obviously part of the church globally and very committed to our local church my whole life. And what was interesting, and I say this, it's just reality, so I just have to say it, that this actually was the first time that I felt like I personally experienced or saw things that were modeled, that just felt like, oh my gosh, like this is what the New Testament's talking about. Wow. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I say that with grace and love and whatever, it was just this reality of like, oh my gosh, like this is what Paul's talking about, you know? And it's not, I'm not talking about that. They particularly have a home church model. I'm not talking about that. I'm not part of a home church. But it's more just this getting back to this basics and just the leadership that was modeled there and the spiritual disciplines that we saw modeled and the way the Spirit and Jesus was invited and put as primary, was just really powerful. So I don't know. I mean, you remember when I first got back.
Yeah, I do. So I know. Can you go into kind of what it looked like, I guess, the specifics? Like, what do you mean by that of getting back to the basics?
Yeah.
What you saw?
The first day we went there, it was to visit their normal home church services. And my husband, Taylor, and I were matched with one home church, and we showed up, and that day they actually weren't doing their regular just gathering. Yeah. They were doing an outreach. Wow. And it was really cool because we went into the house and he just went over some passages and did some prayer. This is right outside of San Francisco. And they said, yeah, like a couple weeks ago, we heard some gunshots at an apartment complex close by. And so, you know, one of the members just felt called to minister to them. And so we just put together some like ice chests with food, and we're just going to walk over there. It was walking distance, and just give them lunch and just, you know, get to know them.
Wow.
So it was just really casual. Like, it wasn't like this big deal. And we're like, okay, you know? And so they had some trucks, and just some people followed us with the barbecue and with some of the food, got there, and just in the courtyard in front of the apartment building, just set up the lunch, and they just started cooking like on a camping grill, you know what I mean? So cool. And just like had some tables laid out and plates, and just, we didn't have to get, you know, some big plan or permission. It was just, they just set up and started cooking some food. Mm-hmm. People started seeing it, and not a lot of people were coming around. So we started just, okay, well, let's just go knock on all the doors, you know? So we just started knocking on the door. Some people wouldn't answer, and some people, you know, we'd invite them down. And over time, more people just came, and it was just very natural. Just started sharing the gospel and getting to know people, you know, people opening up, people getting prayer, you know, just God just moving. And after that, you know, Taylor and I, that was just one example where we're like, wow, that was really simple. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Similar to your taxi examples. Like, it was just like, oh, you're just there. You're available and you're just walking in what God's calling you to without fear or hesitation or second guessing, just saying there's a need, like, let's go do it. And it was, you know, a couple hours, clean up and left. And I'm sure that church is continuing that relationship. That was just a visit for us, but the experience was really, really encouraging for me. That was the first day. And then the next day was when the actual training started. And it was when we walked in, it was interesting because it was just a big room, and like you could kind of hear the traffic, and like the AC was really loud, you know, like some older furniture, and it was very organized and nice, but it was just low key, you know, it was really low key. And we all just kind of circled around. There's about probably 20 of us. And again, I was feeling nervous because I had brought all these people up here, you know, and I'm like, okay, like, I hope this is what the Lord was calling us. And Rob was the elder that was leading this training, and I'd love to have him on the podcast. And he started just real simple, just saying, all right, we're just going to, you know, open our time. We're just going to spend some time with Jesus and and just open up our time. And it was just, it was so refreshing. He kind of walked through biblically the process, you know, we're going to spend some time with Jesus. These are all believers, you know, to preface, these are all people who are followers of Christ. And he's just, you know, if anyone has a passage that the Lord brings to their heart or a song or an encouragement, like feel free to share that, you know, we're going to just invite Jesus into the room. And, you know, if there's anything, you know, that's off, you know, I'm here and we can, you know, correct that, but we don't need to be afraid, you know, God's bigger than all that. Like it was just really casual and, the freedom that I felt in this model was different. And that's what I'm trying to highlight. The contrast is a group prayer where it's, and again, this isn't bad, of course, but a group prayer where it's, okay, I'm going to open, you're going to close, and we can have a couple people pray in between. Yeah. And you just quickly say what the Lord's put on your heart and then stop.
I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with motivation to get into God's Word, and I love adding some aesthetic beauty and note-taking to my Bible study with the Mr. Pen Selah Bible Journaling Kit. This classy and beautiful kit comes with everything you need to add some fun and color to your study. This set comes with Bible tabs, highlighters and pens, stickers with a modern script font, gold cross paper clips, transparent sticky notes, and a lovely cream and gold supplies pouch to hold it all together. And today you can get a discount on the Selah Bible Journaling Collection on Amazon with the discount code SelahKit24. Use SelahKit24 on Amazon for a discount today.
Well, it's so interesting. I love just something that popped in my head as you're sharing that is, let's just picture a group of friends sitting around and talking and having fun and conversing and intimately talking. Like, it's not structured.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, prayer, if we really believe, like, prayer is praise to God, expressing to God, talking to God, don't we want just it to be a movement of our heart in what is going on in our lives? And just as we would sit around with a bunch of friends, talking to a friend, like, I just even think, okay, it is focused on one, like God, like, but even if, let's just say there's a group of friends and Shannon, you were gone for a long time or something. And so the focus was on conversing with you.
Yeah.
It still wouldn't always be structured. It would be like, one person would be like, hey, I want to ask this question or, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can see how that would feel so free and just an expression of, you know.
Yeah. And I really appreciate that example you shared because it's hard for me to even like without experiencing it, like having the words, how to describe it. And I think that's really helpful the way you described it. And there was something where I do feel like, yes, the traditional structured prayer times or whatever, of course they're beautiful. I mean, even, and then you even look at just the historical prayers, just recitation. Oh, that's the correct way to
recitation
say it, right?
Yeah. It's amazing.
Powerful.
Yeah.
So, but I do want to say that talking with God and talking with his people in the way that we did this, I feel like is a necessity.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, and it's something I've been missing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like along with the recitation, you're not saying, or
no,
you're saying, and
yeah. And I'm saying, and this is essential. Like, like there's just this freedom, which is, I believe what God is calling us to. And like you're saying, into this relationship.
Yeah.
And to your point, in a relationship, it's not always structured. Sometimes it's structured, but it's not always structured. Mm-hmm. And so that was a beautiful part of it. And then there was just some amazing, like just kind of thought provoking biblical training that we went into. And what I really enjoyed, I of course, again, love resources. Obviously we do here. But it was really cool for this particular training, getting back to the basics. And it was just the word of God that we were using. So it kind of really helped us just pinpoint and focus on what is the church, who are we, and what is it that God's calling us to, you know what I mean, without getting too many thoughts or clouded with other things. And one thing that we highlighted was the prevalence and the commands of us as a church to use our spiritual gifts. You know, and I think that'd be great to do an episode at some time about that. But I think just experientially for me, even just re-seeing like 1 Corinthians 14:26 with new eyes, right? Like this is what the passage says. When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. You know, and then we read through Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, like the spiritual gifts are laid out in scripture. Right. And these are commands. Like we are told to use these spiritual gifts. Right. And so again, you go back to, okay, programs that we do in traditional larger churches, which I love, but those aren't commands. What we are commanded to use our spiritual gifts. And a lot of times we can confuse that. Like if I'm serving, in a program, which is a good program because it's for outreach or for edifying the body, then I'm using my spiritual gift. Am I making sense what I'm saying?
I think so. Yeah.
Scripture already lays out what the spiritual gifts are. Like, we don't get to fill that in with a program. Mm. And that's why I was like, oh my gosh, like, I haven't even spent a lot of time really learning. Wow. Like, God has imparted these spiritual gifts to me. And I don't need to be afraid to say like, oh, I'm a little bit nervous if someone disagrees. Like, disagrees with what? Disagrees with the word of God?
Yeah.
Like, go ahead and disagree. Yeah. Like, that's fine. Like, right. I still love you, but like, go ahead and disagree. Like, it was just really uplifting in that way. Kind of, again, just bringing back to the basics and some of the lessons on the spiritual gifts in regards to what the church has been called to was really powerful.
That's incredible. And then didn't you mention that you got to go into downtown San Francisco?
Yeah. So this was another part of it that was just really eye-opening to me. On the second day of the training, again, going back to scripture and talking through all these things where, okay, what are we as a church commanded to? And we're commanded to love the poor, to love the orphan, to love the widow, to, you know, fight against injustice, to fight against oppression, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, right? All these things. And again, this is something that we can talk about a lot. But like, just go do it.
Right.
You know? And so they were going to take us into the Tenderloin District, which is like the Skid Row of San Francisco. For those of you on the West Coast, or I'm not sure what that would be in other large cities around the world for anyone listening, but it's a really, really just sad, broken place. I mean, you're people just living and literally dying on the street, you know, full of homeless, drug addiction, prostitution. It's a really heartbreaking place. And so, you know, he said, okay, we're going to go in there and we're just going to bring some needed essentials, things that are needed, and share about Jesus to whoever wants to hear. And, you know, everyone's a little bit nervous. And he's like, we're just going to break up in groups of three and we're going to go in this general area. And then we're going to meet back at this spot after, I think it was 2 hours. And he's like, what I want everyone to do is just when you pull up, just ask, you know, what is the Holy Spirit guiding you and teaching you, and just follow where God's teaching you. He gave some practical advice and, you know, went through, someone was like, can you just re-go through like the gospel message, like how we present that, you know, in the room. And he's like, sure. And he just, you know, pulls up scripture and just gives us some other tips and off we go. So we park and we just ask God, you know, God, just guide our steps. Like, who do you want us to talk to? Like, we're here, we're your servants, and just lead us. It was unbelievable. Again, it was just a life-changing experience for me and everybody on the team. These are people that you would walk by and be afraid to talk to normally, that you would walk by and go to the other side of the road. You would walk by and say, oh, it's not wise to talk to them. They're dangerous. And that's what I hear in the church.
Yeah.
And what it didn't match what I experienced.
Well, I just think, you know, as a church over all history since Christ's resurrection, the church went to the dangerous, dark places. The church was the one going into leper colonies. The church was the one going into the danger zones to spread the news, getting imprisoned or sick. I mean, you even see it in the movies.
I know. It's crazy. And that's something that kind of hit me is the people we got to meet. I mean, there was one guy, he was clearly mentally ill. And we just started talking to him. And I said, hey, you know, I just wanted to ask you, like, we're just here just talking about Jesus and just wanted to know, you know, if anyone's told you, you know, about who Jesus is. And he's like, oh, yeah. He starts quoting chapters of the Bible.
Wow.
Like he just knew the Bible, like, in and out. And he was just like, yeah, like, you know, like, that's my home. Like, I was just like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I think this guy's like my brother.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and it's just, but he's someone that I would have walked by 6 months before and been scared to talk to in the middle of the day in public. I'm not talking about like in a dark corner, you know, in the middle of the night somewhere. I'm talking about in the middle of the day. And just other people, like there was another guy that we talked to and he was just broken. And he was just saying, you know, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. And I'm going to hell. And just to speak truth into him and just tell him, you know, that today's the day to repent. You know, like, he loves you. Like, you know, don't waste, you know, it was just beautiful and to serve and give food and bandages. And I remember one time out of the corner of my eye and Rob, there was this old woman and she was ODing on fentanyl basically. And she has sores all over her body and she was probably going to just die sitting there. And he's over there just bandaging her wounds, just bandaging her wounds, not even talking to her because there was nothing to really say. He's just over there just bandaging her wounds. He didn't know anyone was watching him. And afterwards, and we were just sitting there and I was just like, this is where Jesus would be.
Yeah.
Like that, I don't know how to explain it. Like, yeah, it's not like some theological debate. Like, it was just, this is where Jesus would be.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt, yeah, like I was right where Jesus wanted us to be. And so kind of just taking that home. And again, like Kristen said, realizing as a church, like we need to follow what the scripture is telling us and walk in on a day-to-day, whatever it is. And yeah, like you said, in movies, like you see it from any movies, whether it's like Little Women with Joe March and they're get sick because they go visit the, yeah, poor, or all over in history, I feel like we've let a little bit of the cultural norms of safety or et cetera kind of seep into the church. And I just, yeah, kind of wanted to just call that to attention and say, we don't have to be like that. You know, our identity as the church is to follow the example that Christ gave us. And I'd love to right now kind of dive into another thing that we did at that training. And that is a conversation between traditions and commands. And so it was really helpful. They put up on a whiteboard, one side traditions and on the other side commands. And then they said, just talk, like, what do you think as far as your church, if you're part of a normal, larger church and you have Sunday services, what are some things you do that are commands and what are things you do that are traditions? And then let's make sure that what we are doing is that we recognize that traditions are good, but ask ourselves honestly, are we forsaking commands for the sake of traditions in any way in our life? So I was just curious, like, what are some things that you think that are traditions?
Ooh, that's good. Well, I mean, I think a tradition is the way we structure a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Which is a good,
wonderful,
tradition.
Yeah.
You know, we all show up,
yeah,
on a Sunday morning. We start with announcement. I mean, this is the typical,
yeah,
church.
Yeah.
So we start with worship and announcements, then the sermon.
Yeah.
And then, you know, more worship, which is great. And,
yeah,
then we drop our kids off.
Yeah.
You know, so I would say those are,
that's one, that's tradition. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, the, like children's services and,
yeah,
youth group,
yeah,
which are great tools.
Right.
And so I think what I was convicted of, so those are like on one side, and then you look on the command side, and what we have on the command side is caring for the poor,
yeah,
preaching the good news, making disciples, baptizing the nations, taking communion.
Wow. Yeah.
Right. And there are these things you're like, okay, so the traditions are good, but am I forsaking these, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself? Am I doing that?
Yeah.
Like, or am I too busy doing things that, yeah, are traditions? And again, yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
But just checking our heart, like, what is God calling us to? Let's prioritize that. And the rest, like you were saying in previous episode, like, will be overflow. So one thing on the command side that I'd really love to read through, because it was really impactful for me, is the one another's. Now, I had never heard it read through like this, and it was just beautiful to me in regards to the command to love our neighbor as ourselves. So there are, I forget how many, I think it's like 59 one another's in the New Testament. And to just hear them read through, I was just like, these are what we're commanded to do. Let's focus on the commands. So yeah, let's just read through some of them.
Yeah. We'll list all the references in the show notes, just so you know, but here we go. Be at peace with each other. Wash one another's feet. Love one another. And that is about at least 5-6 times in John. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with one another.
Yeah. And again, it repeats like over and over. Love one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Instruct one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. When you come to eat, wait for each other. Mm-hmm. Have equal concern for each other. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Repeats that like 3 times. Serve one another.
If you keep on biting and devouring each other, you will be destroyed by each other. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Carry each other's burdens. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. In humility, consider each other better than yourself. Do not lie to each other. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another.
Yeah. And again, teach one another, admonish one another, make your love increase and overflow for each other. Love each other, encourage each other, build each other up, encourage one another daily, spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Encourage one another. Do not slander one another. Don't grumble against each other. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other. Love one another deeply from your heart.
Live in harmony with one another. Love each other deeply. Again, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Greet one another with a kiss of love. And in 1st and 2nd John, at least 6 or 7 more times, it's love one another. And gosh, I mean, wow, that's That's just our heart for each person listening. And for Shannon and I, you know, there are lots of good traditions that are amazing and good and God uses. I love showing up on Sunday mornings.
I love it. It's so edifying.
Tradition is comforting.
It is.
It's so comforting. There's traditions that the first church used. They're beautiful. Yeah. And God uses them. And sometimes it's good, though, to get back to the basics, to clear a mind who we are as the church, to recognize, do I have space in my life to do the commands, the one another's, the things God has commanded me to do, or am I so busy doing the things expected of me? It's just an encouragement to think outside the box of tradition. Who is Jesus the harshest with? The Pharisees, who were the keeper and worshiper, really, of tradition.
Yeah, that's a good correction. Yeah. You know, and I even think about like the Good Samaritan, right? And anytime I've read that parable, it's like we judge, like in my heart, I'm like, oh gosh, like how would the Levite ever do that, right? How would the Levite ever just walk by the Good Samaritan? But are we too busy sometimes, you know, focusing on whether it's traditions or the kids' school, whatever it is, to be keeping these commands that God's called us to? Like, let's not be like that Levite, but one love one another deeply from the heart. Mm. You know, and as we close this portion, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the last day of the training. It was really impactful because we were spending time with the Lord, and one of the women, this beautiful woman, who I actually disagreed with theologically on some stuff, but she really just loved the Lord.
Yeah.
And she was beautiful, and she kind of broke down. Mm. She'd been struggling with fertility issues, and she had felt that God was calling her and her husband to sell everything they had.
Wow.
And they did. And they were here just wondering what God wanted them to do. And she's here, and she was broke down, and she was crying. And we all just sat there and we were praying for her. Right.
Yeah.
But she just kept crying. And at the end of the time of prayer, Rob actually rebuked us.
Whoa.
And he was like, you know, I just want to tell you guys, when somebody is vulnerable and breaks down about something that they're struggling with, if you don't kind of lay your hands on them or show them physically that you are present, a lot of times it's easy for them to walk away feeling shame and embarrassment.
Wow.
And he was like, I just want to encourage you all that if that happens again, even just laying your hand on someone's shoulder, God can use to affirm them and help them feel the love that you feel in your heart. Anyways, and it was from the Lord the moment that it happened. And so it was funny, but like I just like got up and like went and like hugged her and it was just really powerful. And it's really stuck with me because he said, it's all scripture that was coming out of his mouth. It's like, you need to be willing to make a fool of yourself for the gospel.
Wow.
And it's like, I think about that and I'm like, well, I don't live in China, you know? And I'm like, there are moments every day where I can make a fool of myself. Mm. I can walk across the room to put my hand on someone who's crying. You know, I can, you know, tell them that the Lord was encouraging me to tell them that he loves them.
Wow.
Biblical truth. You know what I mean? There's things that are embarrassing and feel awkward and uncomfortable that we just need to do, know? And it was just so powerful. And actually during that time, it was Rob just started talking about his crazy testimony for some reason, like in prayer, and ended up putting up the song, The Goodness of God, on. And my brother was there, my sister-in-law, and they work with our kids in India. And I won't get into too much detail, but it was totally from the Lord.
Wow.
And my brother had experienced some things in Africa that were really evil. And he was struggling with some anger towards God with that. And it was like, God just like ripped that down, just like ripped the stronghold down. And he's like, that is the song that I used to run around dancing to, worshiping God. And it was just, and there was just this moment. And, you know, we've gone through a lot as a family of just this beautiful, just healing moment with us. And it was like, we were all a family.
Wow.
You know, and that's what happens when you invite Jesus into the room. Mm. And when you leave space for him to enter, for him to speak through, for the Spirit of God to move, he moves. And sometimes it's just peaceful and edifying. Sometimes it was a breakthrough or emotional, but it's just always beautiful.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. And this is the type of thing that's real life, right? And that's what I want to encourage everyone as we go through this mini series is, the things that we're doing are many times good, but let's just ask God to break our hearts for anything that needs to be broken, for what his word is, what the Bible is calling us to know him and to love him with all our hearts and to love each other. You know, and sometimes, you know, I come back and I'm like, gosh, why wasn't this modeled to me? Or why didn't I see this? Or, you know, and I'm like, you know what? No, that's not my concern. My concern is to walk in what the Lord is showing me.
Yeah.
To walk in that. And so we've just started doing that. And I think that's what he has for all of us listening today. And I just want to read as we close Revelations 3, where Jesus says to his church, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He's likening us to what he is getting. That's crazy. And then he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so today, Lord, you know, we just ask you to give all of us listening just ears to hear what you would have for us. Because everyone here, he is standing at the door and he is knocking. He is there to speak to you, to speak with you, to encourage you. And that's why he says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him. And I will just say one last thing. Rob did mention that sometimes he actually physically, like when he's just with Jesus, opens the door and lets Jesus in and sits at the table and talks to him.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been, and I started doing that. It's really cool.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you have a second, please share this episode with someone you love.
Also, if you could scroll down and rate our podcast and follow us on social media at Abiding Free, this will help us reach more with the message of freedom.
Yeah, and then just be sure to join us next week for another episode, and know we love and are praying for you.